Tonight we're in Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 14, God's vengeance against Babylon for violating his word. Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 2, called Timothy to preach God's word in view of Christ's judging the living and the dead at his appearing and his coming. In other words, people will be held accountable in the end to have heeded scripture. That's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to pull out the word and look at it. This accountability is evidenced in Jeremiah 51, 1 to 14, where God predicted his vengeance against Babylon for sins that violated his word. We view the passage for our insight and our edification. I want to read it first, the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 14. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of thee, that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifted himself up in his armor, that's brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah, or of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off from her iniquity, for this is in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that hath made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad or insane. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she's not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness, or vengeance. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, or sharpen the arrows, gather the shields, pick up the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his devices against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall, or actually with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Okay. God predicted that he would take vengeance against Babylon for violating his Abrahamic covenant. In Jeremiah 51, 1 to 10, the Lord had said that he would stir up the spirit of a destroying invader against Babylon, against the inhabitants of Leb-Kamai, what literally means heart of my adversaries, but which is a cryptogram known as an atbash. When its consonants are reversed in the Hebrew alphabet, they spell Chaldea. It was a way of writing in those days. In other words, God was planning to stir up enemy invaders to destroy the heart of his adversaries in Babylonia. The emphasis here is on the destruction of Babylon at the very core. In other words, he's not going to just allow Babylon to go through sort of a temporary defeat. He's going to get right to the very core of Babylon and destroy that system and destroy that city, its very core. If you go to Babylon today, you can actually have the ruins of Babylon there. There are buildings all over the place, and it's all torn down, but it's a deserty place. But it's amazing to realize that at one time, so many people lived in that place where there's no water, and yet nobody's living there now. It's just amazing. The Euphrates River actually used to flow underneath the city walls through the city and then out, but it's been diverted, and now the Euphrates River flows around and off to the side. So it's a place that is just haunted. It's empty. Now, this destruction would be traumatic, with Babylon's entire army of young men being devoted to destruction, as they would be wounded and slain in their streets in colossal national defeat. In other words, the whole army, everybody in the army, would be killed. The reason for this judgment would be God's wrath against Babylon for her mistreatment of his people, Israel and Judah. Such mistreatment was actually guilt against God. For God had promised in his Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12, 1-3, to bless those who bless the seed of Abraham and to curse those who curse them. Babylon's mistreatment of God's people violated his Abrahamic covenant, so Babylon was guilty before God, deserving of his vengeance. And it's interesting that mistreatment occurred at the hands of the soldiers, so all of the soldiers were to die. The judgment of God is thorough. The punishment is thorough. Well, God called for those in Babylon to flee from the city that they might escape his vengeance against her. Though Babylon had been a golden cup of God's wrath in his hand, making the whole earth drunken with the effects of his judgment against them by way of his use of Babylon to defeat them, Babylon herself would suddenly fall in divine judgment, and she would not be able to recover from it as if she had an incurable wound. You know, it's interesting, when you get to Revelation chapter 17 and 18, you have Babylon the Great, which is the mystical Babylon. In her hand is a cup, and the cup is full of abominations and so forth, and she's drunk with the blood of the saints and so forth. So there's a picture here of the city of Babylon here that later is the system of Babylon. The city of Babylon was destroyed, but the system of Babylon, the religious system of Babylon, which is a combination of materialism and religiosity, is still very much alive, and it's permeating right now throughout all the religions. And it'll eventually take over and be the dominant religion. And God is going to raise up the Antichrist to destroy that religion in the Great Tribulation. But it's interesting that you see pictures here, references here, that sound almost like the book of Revelation. And it shows you the book of Revelation has as its backdrop the Old Testament. You have to understand the book of the Old Testament in order to understand the book of Revelation. Thus, God would vindicate his people for Babylon's mistreatment of them in accordance with the Abrahamic covenant. And God's people would testify of it in Mount Zion after Babylon's fall. That's why in verse 10 it says, "The Lord has brought forth our righteousness, and those he has vindicated us. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God." That's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. Well, God also, in verses 11 to 14, God predicted that he would take vengeance against Babylon for violating his law. Now, the Abrahamic covenant was given by God back in Genesis 12. That's 400 years before the law. The law came later in the days of Moses, but they also violated his law. God's prophet Jeremiah called for the arrows of the Medes to be sharpened and for them to take up their shields in preparation to invade Babylon. For the Lord intended to use the Medes to take vengeance on Babylon for desecrating his temple in the fall of Jerusalem. You see, the Bible in Numbers chapter 1, verse 51, called for the execution of anyone besides the Levites who came near the tabernacle, what would also apply later to the temple building. But the pagan Gentile Babylonian soldiers had trespassed the temple grounds. They'd seized the temple's furnishings and destroyed the temple in violation of this rule. Now, the Lord had allowed that because he was going to use the Babylonians to destroy them. But since the Babylonians also, in the process, were violating Scripture, and that was the death penalty, he was going to bring the death penalty on them. But they were already idolatrous people, so they had judgment coming anyway. So God called for the Medes to prepare to attack Babylon as the instrument of judgment by the hand of the Lord against Babylon for having committed the capital offense of trespassing his temple precincts and the holy furnishings in violation of his law. It's interesting, when we were going through the book of Revelation, we discovered that in the Great Tribulation period, the temple is going to be rebuilt, and the Jews are going to compromise. They're going to keep the temple for themselves, but the courtyard around the temple, they're going to open up for the religions of the Gentiles. And that, in God's eyes, is desecrating his temple grounds, because not only is the temple building itself holy, but the courtyard around it is also holy. And that's what's going to bring the wrath of God, and that's why he's going to allow the man of God, the man of sin, to come in and actually desecrate the holiest of holies, where the Jews are trying to keep it. So, you know, the judgment of God is very, very thorough. So though Babylon, who dwelt by the waters of the Euphrates River, that's what it means, dwelling on the waters, had become wealthy through trade and commerce, her end had come. The Lord of hosts, and remember the word hosts is also the word that translates army. And this means God is the God of armies, not only the Jewish army, but Gentile army. God had sworn by himself to fill Babylon with invading Medes, soldiers as numerous as locusts, and a locust plague that devours the whole countryside, not caterpillars, as the King James says. A multitude of men who would raise the victory shout over Babylon. So for violating his Abrahamic covenant and mistreating his people, and for violating his Mosaic law and trespassing the temple grounds and desecrating its furnishings and building, God would take vengeance against Babylon, destroying the city and obliterating its army in its own city streets. You know, it's interesting, later, remember in the time of Daniel where Belshazzar was having this great feast and the handwriting came on the wall? The reason the handwriting came on the wall is because they had taken a lot of the vessels out of the temples of the gods of the nations that they had destroyed, and they had taken the vessels that they had seized out of the temple of the Lord, and they were filling them with wine, and they were drinking to their gods. And by doing so, they were indicating that their gods were superior to the gods of these vessels. And then they were claiming, therefore, to be their God was to be superior to the God of Israel. So in judgment, that's why the hand wrote on the wall, I'm going to judge you. You're not greater than I am. And that's why that the kingdom of Babylon then fell that night, because they were going after God's vessels. So even though the vessels had been taken captive, God was watching over even the vessels of the temple. And when later they came back under Ezra, Ezra brought those vessels back into the temple and establishing the temple in the return of the exiles. So God never misses a beat. Boy, when he gives his word on an issue, boy, we better obey it. So the application is, may we obey God's word in our era, knowing that just as the Lord held powerful Babylon accountable to be utterly destroyed for disobeying his word, he will judge us in accordance to our obedience to his word in the end. That's why 2 Timothy 4:1, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, in view of the coming of the Lord, in view of the kingdom of Christ, in view of the fact that he's going to judge the living and the dead, then you preach the word. So, may we who teach or preach God's word faithfully fulfill our duty to do so, knowing God is going to judge our hearers by that word in the end. That's what Paul said in the verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all, with great patience and careful instruction, because people will be held accountable for that. That also means that we will be held accountable for presenting and preaching the Word of God. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's a very important one. So we need to pay attention to a passage like this. God was going to take this massive empire of Babylon, and he was going to crush it, destroying all the men in its army because it had violated his covenant and it had violated his word. It shows us what God thinks of his word. It's very, very important.